So we've been talking a lot this year about inviting God to strengthen us. We believe that's what the Holy Spirit said to us last year, and wanted to look at different ways in which the Holy Spirit strengthens things in our lives. And those of you who are here last week, Dave did an excellent job helping us to start thinking about what it means to be stronger in the Spirit. And I just want to build on, agree with some of the things that Dave said last week. One of the things we talked about earlier in the year was the importance of God's word, God's written word, the Bible in our lives. And today, as we think a bit about, again, about the Holy Spirit, we have those two things that are very important to us as church. How many people have heard someone say this before? If we are all word and no spirit, we dry up. If we're all spirit and no word, we blow up. But if we embrace God's word and the Holy Spirit, we grow up. And we're all about growing, aren't we? As Ashwood Church, if you've been here any time, you've heard us talk about growing and how important it is to us personally, individually. And this morning I want to talk about how we grow stronger and strengthen ourselves in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to start by asking you some personal questions you don't need to give me the answer to, but have you ever had a time in your life where you needed extra comfort? Have you ever had a season in your life when you needed someone to come alongside you and give you some special counsel? Or a season in your life where you know you needed extra help? Ever had one of those? Or had a season in your life when you felt weak and needed someone to strengthen you? Felt alone and needed someone to come and just be with you? Well, the good news is there is such a person who's all of these things to us. He's alive and well here on planet Earth. He lives with us. And as Dave talked about last week, this is the Holy Spirit. It's good news. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." And the Amplified Version says, "Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." And it goes on, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him or recognize him, but you know him and recognize him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's about to go to the cross and then be raised from the dead and ascend into heaven. How many people think it was tough for the disciples as Jesus was talking? If you're part of our life groups, you'll know we've been looking at this 40 days thing, and some of us have started that already. And we've talked about how the disciples will have felt when Jesus explained that he was going to die on the cross. They've been with him for 3 years. It's going to be a big loss. And I don't know about you, but the disciples about to come to terms with being without Jesus. And sometimes I hear people say, "Wouldn't it be amazing if Jesus was here with us today? Would you like that?" How many people would like it if Jesus was here with us today? People say, "Wouldn't it be amazing?" Of course, then the implication is therefore that we don't have Jesus with us today. And of course, physically we don't. But what Jesus was promising and explaining is that he was going back to the Father, but the Father was going to send another. And in the original Greek, the word "another" means "just like me." That's literally what it meant. So in other words, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to come and do all the things that I would do here on earth. So he's saying to his disciples, "You're not going to miss out. The Spirit's going to come and take my place here on earth." And I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and does all the things that Jesus did when he was here on earth. And here, this word "comforter," the original language it would have actually meant was "the one called alongside." So I don't know what image you have of a comforter, but the better translation for this word, I understand, is "the one called alongside." So it's literally like the Holy Spirit is alongside us, is with us. And Jesus is saying to the disciples and saying to us today, just as I was physically alongside the disciples in my earthly ministry, so now the Holy Spirit is going to come and live alongside his people, but not just now, the promise is forever. And then Jesus carries on, even more reassuring. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And we sang in one of our songs this morning this phrase about orphans, and that actually Jesus is saying, physically I'm going to heaven because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And if we have the Spirit within us, then we also have the Father and the Son present in our lives. And some of you will know the story, but Jesus goes on to say to the disciples, it's actually good that he's going. I don't know if you ever try and imagine what it would be like for the disciples. If you've been with Jesus for 3 years and then he says to you, good news, friends, good news, guys, I'm going. And this is going to be good news. And you kind of, I don't know if you can imagine the disciples would go kind of, really, Jesus, are you sure about this? It's pretty good when you're here. When you're not here, I can't imagine that being too great. But this is so important that we get hold of this. Why was it better for them back then that Jesus ascended into heaven? Well, the reason it was better, I think growing up, I always used to wonder how this could be better. You know, it's one of those mystery kind of odd things in the Bible where Jesus explains something and you think, well, I'm not sure I really get it. But of course, Jesus is saying to the disciples, well, he's with them on the Sea of Galilee, for example, what does that mean? Well, where isn't he? Everywhere else. So the fact that Jesus went to heaven to be with his Father said that his Holy Spirit would then be with us means that he's here in Kirkby, Ravenshead, Stanford Hill, Selston, South Normanton, other places. This is good news. The Jesus who is still alive is now present by his Holy Spirit. He can be anywhere with no limits. So whether we talked about it already this morning, whether we're in good times, bad times, we're on a mountaintop experience, a valley experience, whether we're awake, whether we're asleep, whether we're at work, whether we're at play, the Holy Spirit is with us, present all of the time. The Spirit of Jesus alongside us in the same way that Jesus was with his disciples. That's good news. So if the Holy Spirit is the third and equal part of the Trinity, he's right here now, representing God here on earth. I don't know about you, I'm pleased that the Father and the Son are seated in heaven, but I thank God that the Holy Spirit is with us today. I almost got excited. That was a cheering moment, I guess, if there was one. And last week, Dave laid a foundation, and I just want to build on that today and underline some of the things he said. And of course, I always want our Sunday mornings to be both practical. I want to engage our thinking. I want us to remind ourselves of things, to learn some things together. But I also want to have a very practical application that actually we can apply to our lives. So is that okay? I've got two things this morning that I want us to practically apply to your life and to my life. And I believe that if we do this, then some amazing things can happen. So if we're talking about getting stronger, strengthening ourselves in the Spirit, there's two things I just want to talk about this morning very quickly. One is, if we're going to be stronger in the Spirit, I'm going to pray that we have a greater friendship with the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit. So, first of all, think about a greater friendship with the Holy Spirit. At the end of the Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul prays, he often prays at the end of his letters, and he says this: "We know the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship," or some translations say fellowship, "of the Holy Spirit." Those three parts of the Trinity. And that's his prayer for the Corinthians. And he talks very specifically then about the person of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I've got a glamorous assistant who's just going to help me illustrate this point. So this is the Holy Spirit, everybody. Could you just welcome the Holy Spirit? They weren't sure that you were the Holy Spirit, otherwise you'd have got a better welcome, Gary. Just to be clear, Gary isn't the Holy Spirit, but it's just an illustration. Just to be clear. So Gary's going to help just to illustrate what it means to grow and have a closer friendship with the Holy Spirit. See, it's like this. Before we become a Christian, and even in the midst of our lives without God, you understand, you hear people talk about the fact that there's like a voice in the background. It's very quiet. You can't always hear it, but there's something there. And you hear people talk about that in the background before they become a Christian. And you hear some voice saying this: "You need Jesus. You need Jesus." And you hear people talk about this, don't you? Those of us who have been a Christian for a long time, perhaps we've forgotten what it was like, or perhaps we were so young that it all just made sense because we were five and we didn't have any problems understanding or believing anything. You know, if you're five, things are a lot less complicated, aren't they? That's why my advice to everyone is get saved when you're five. It's a lot easier. Some of us can't do that now, I understand that. The best alternative is whatever age you are now. But it's like there's a voice that's speaking to us: "You need Jesus, you need Jesus." And how do we know that that is the Holy Spirit? Well, the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is to guide, glorify, and to lead people to Jesus himself. But often, the attraction of sin and stuff in our lives means that we don't listen to that voice, that quiet voice, and we do our own thing and we carry on with our lives. And many of us can tell that story. And then often in our spiritual journey, many of us find that we have an encounter. We have some part on our spiritual journey. We can't explain it. And there are people in this room this morning who would say, they'd tell you their story, and they'd say, "I was aware of something different. There was a presence with me. There was something that was like, can't explain it, but there's a peace, there's a love. Somehow I know that there's a God. It's real. It's like alongside us, there is something, the presence of God." Who is that? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. And perhaps at that point, we can't explain it, we can't understand it. We're just aware that there is some presence, there is something, someone alongside us. Somehow we know it's real. And the Holy Spirit, like he does, pursues us. And he actually shows us Jesus. It's like he explains things, he makes things clear. He helps us to understand what we need to do to have that relationship with Jesus himself. And many of us then choose to surrender our lives to Jesus, to give ourselves to him. And many of us in this room have made that decision, pray a prayer often, turn, the Bible talks about the word repent, which means turning around, going a different direction from the way that we would go naturally ourselves. And at that point, what actually happens is the Holy Spirit isn't just alongside us, but the Holy Spirit, we can't really act this bit out, but the Holy Spirit actually comes within us. That's not so good on the podcast, that bit, but keep listening. And so the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Bible says that our bodies become a temple of the Holy Spirit, the place where God himself dwells. I don't know about you, but if God is choosing by his Holy Spirit to live in me, then I need to have a pretty high view of myself. I don't know if you look in the mirror, you look at your physical body and you think, that's not very impressive. Anyone ever do that? Every now and then? And I can look around and tell you this morning that there is a lot of impressive physical bodies here in this room. High five. But the truth is, we know that our bodies are decaying, some of them faster than others. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit chooses to live, dwell within our bodies. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good news today as well. The Holy Spirit agrees. That's good. And then the Holy Spirit lives in our lives, doesn't he? And everything changes. The God we knew from a distance now is living within us. We're aware of his presence. And then things start to happen. Things start to change. As I read my Bible, it's the Holy Spirit who inspired the scriptures, helps me to understand it. So I'm reading it and the Holy Spirit's actually pointing things out to me. And I'm saying, wow, how did you know that? And he says, well, because I wrote it. And not just interprets things, but highlights things that I might have read many times before. And actually they're things that are relevant to me, not just all the time, but on a daily basis. Personally, for me, in my life, as I'm reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit helps to interpret and highlight things and says, yeah, this is relevant to you, Matt, today, right here, right now. Does anyone else have that experience when you're reading God's Word? Good. So reading the Bible, then I start praying. And I don't know about you, sometimes when I'm praying, I'm just aware that I've got a helper. And when I'm speaking, whether I'm speaking in English or I'm praying in the language that God gives me in the Spirit, somehow I know that I've got a helper and I'm not just praying on my own, but there's a strength within me. There is a kind of an agreement within me that when I'm praying, that I know the reason I'm praying is because the Holy Spirit is helping me. Does anyone else can agree with that? And then I'm worshiping and I know I've got a helper who helps me to worship and to know God's presence. And then throughout my day, I don't know about you, but I'm aware that I've got a guide inside and alongside me. And if I try and deviate off track, go somewhere else, then the Holy Spirit takes me and helps me get back in the right place, aligned. You know, the Holy Spirit is never rough, but he is clear. And there's sometimes in our life, the Holy Spirit will prompt us, will remind us, will draw our attention to things where we need to align ourselves, we need to be guided. How many people know that somehow in your spirit, you know that there's something you should do or there's something you shouldn't do? Then there are times when I face challenges, either for me or on behalf of others. Disappointments, sorrows. I'm feeling low and I'm struggling. The Holy Spirit has his arms around me, comforts me because he's a comforter. He's alongside me. There's times when I feel weak. I feel the strong arms of the Holy Spirit strengthening me. How many people need to be strengthened sometimes? There's times when I feel like I'm under some kind of spiritual attack, and I'm aware that the Holy Spirit is guarding me. He's protecting me. Aren't you pleased that the Holy Spirit does this in our lives? And when I'm speaking to people, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at home in the family, whether I'm with neighbours, whether I'm in my life group, whether we're here on a Sunday meeting as church, I hope there's an anointing of the Holy Spirit on my life, on your life, that the words that I'm speaking are not just me, but they're somehow the Holy Spirit speaking through me, bringing transformation and revelation. See, the great news is that in the Holy Spirit, I have a comforter, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby, a helper, an intercessor. He is God to me. And the promise is that he's going to be with me, not just now, but for eternity. And if you this morning, if you're in Christ, then the good news is that's the Holy Spirit in you too. Do you believe it? Are you aware of it? It's true. And you might say, well, if that is true, well, why don't I sense it more? It's a good question. Why don't we experience more of the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? There's the answer. Well, one thing we do know is it's not through a lack of commitment on the part of the Holy Spirit. Because he is totally faithful. He's come to stand with us forever. So perhaps there's something about our lack of awareness, our lack of knowing what the Holy Spirit's doing. And how many people have tried to pursue a friendship before, but it's all been one way? Anyone ever done that? You've kind of started a friendship and it feels like you're doing all the running, all the conversations, all the hard work. Well, we just read that scripture that the Holy Spirit is committed to an intimate friendship. Well, what does that mean? It's not one way, it's a two-way thing, isn't it? And how many people want to grow in the Holy Spirit today? How many people want to be strengthened in the Holy Spirit? I know I do. And this kind of hit me recently in a greater measure. I need to be committed to being a great friend to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about that before? That actually we can be friends with the Holy Spirit. We sing songs, don't we, about being a friend of God. And Jesus said to his disciples, I call you no longer servants, but my friends. And the way we're going to have a friendship now with God is by having a friendship with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the goals are in your life. Say, well, my goal is to make a lot of money. Well, nothing wrong with money. My goal is to care for people. Well, nothing wrong with that. But can I suggest that if we want to be people of the Spirit and of the Word, that we make it a priority in our lives to grow a friendship with the Holy Spirit? Have you ever thought about it like that before? We can be friends with the Holy Spirit. And if I'm going to be friends with the Holy Spirit, how do I respond to his presence in my life? What are the practical things that I can do? Because I said, well, I want to be practical. Well, listen to a few words out of Galatians 5 and 6. Galatians 5:16 says, live by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is going in one direction, then I don't want to be either ahead or lagging behind. I want to make sure that I am in step with the Spirit. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? And then the next one, whoever sows to please the Spirit, so it's possible to please the Spirit. You see that? That's because the Holy Spirit is a person. Then from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Whoever sows from the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. So there are certain things that please the Spirit, please the Holy Spirit, and there are certain things that can sadden the Spirit too. Ephesians 4 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. So we need to respond by growing our friendship with the Holy Spirit. There's certain things that we can do. So for example, if I start gossiping, then the Holy Spirit doesn't like that. If I say hurtful, harmful things, the Holy Spirit doesn't like it. If I harbour unforgiveness or have actions or thoughts that are not good, which of course I'm trying not to do, it saddens him. It's not that he leaves, but in the context of relationships, if you just look at that Ephesians 4 passage, it's all about relationships. That actually it saddens the Holy Spirit, the wonderful person who is God, but is also our friend. But the good news is, you know, there are certain things that make the Holy Spirit happy. Look. He likes it when I put him first in my life. The start of every day, if I put him first. He likes it when I read the book he wrote. He likes it when I pray. He likes it when I raise my hands, when I worship. He likes it when I honour others. He likes it when I speak well of others. He likes it when I deal well with offence. He likes it when I'm kind to others. When my focus is on his agenda and not on my agenda. And perhaps some of us need to reorientate, realign our lives so that our focus is on what he wants, not always on what we want. When I give attention to the things that the Holy Spirit likes and please him, then I know that his nearness increases my dearness to him and him to me. Do you want to get stronger with the Holy Spirit in your life? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's thank the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about this message, that's a challenge to me. And I perhaps hadn't always seen all those things in quite the same way. But what a wonderful thing, the truth of the Holy Spirit as our friend living within us. And I don't know about you, but I've thought about Ephesians 4:30 and not grieving the Holy Spirit. But somehow it comes alive to me when I recognise who the Holy Spirit is, and I want to do everything that I can to please him. So we want a greater and a closer friendship with the Holy Spirit. If you want to, let's just pause for a moment. If you want to respond to that, because I feel like I do, why don't you just stand up right now and we'll just declare together that we want to have a close, those of us who just said, yeah, I hear what you're saying, I just want to respond right now, let's not wait till the end, just stand, we'll pray, and then we'll move on. You don't have to stand up, it's not a pressure, never a pressure. Well, Holy Spirit, I just believe that you're stirring something within us today. You're causing our eyes to be opened, our hearts, our spirit to see things. And Lord, for me personally, I want to grow, develop my friendship with you, the Holy Spirit, in my life. To do the things that please you and to hold back from the things that sadden you. Thank you that you are in my life at the point that I surrender to you. And today, what we're saying is we are committing ourselves to that relationship, that friendship with you, that is life transforming, life changing, causes us to be the people that you've intended us to be. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. So we want a greater friendship with the Spirit. The second thing, a greater infilling. We've looked at some of the characteristics, the personality of the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit is referred to many personal things, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of wisdom. They're all personal. But also, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a number of impersonal images to describe not so much who he is, but what he does. So last week was Pentecost Sunday. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is identified with wind. It's not that the Holy Spirit is wind, but he comes like a rushing wind. Sometimes the Spirit is likened to fire. Moses encountered a burning bush. And again at Pentecost, tongues of fire. Fire to cleanse and wind to bring new life and to come through in power and change things. So there's other impersonal things that help us to represent and symbolize what the Holy Spirit does. One of the other most frequent images of the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit and doing what he does is water. Well, what do you think of? What do we think of when you think of water? Why water? What does water do? Well, water cleanses, refreshes, gives life. We can't live, can we, without water. And the Bible talks about the Spirit falling like rain. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets the woman at the well and he talks about the Holy Spirit being like water. He just uses that analogy and says, you'll just want to drink some of this physical water, that's pretty good, but the water that I will give you, the spiritual, the Spirit water, will do all the things that your physical water does for you physically, will do for you spiritually in your life. And when we talk about God filling us, infilling us, it doesn't just talk about a person coming into us. We have this image of being filled like water by the Holy Spirit into our lives. And there's different dimensions, of course, of being filled. Dave, could you just bring me that table? Because I was not sure whether I would do this or not, but I think I will. Thank you very much. You're nearly as good as the Holy Spirit. Only joking. So it's like if we think about what water actually does, sometimes me just talking is helpful, but sometimes seeing it is good as well, isn't it? So if you think about this as an illustration, it's like this is my spirit, this is your spirit, and you can't see our spirits, can you? But you know that they're there. And it's like what happened I think this might work. It's like when the fall came and Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. Tragically, something happened in their lives, and it affects all of our lives ever since throughout history, that sin came into the world at the fall, and ever since then, man and woman has tragically had to battle with sin. And how many people know that although we can't see sin in our lives because it's inside, actually we know that it does us damage, doesn't it? And sin messes us up, darkens our lives, and we need God to come and help us. And of course, in Jesus, when Jesus came and died on the cross, he took away all of our spiritual debt, was cancelled, we received Jesus Christ. But also, we just mentioned then, we receive the Spirit himself, and he comes into our lives, and it's like he makes us clean. Or cleaner. And this is, the Bible talks about us being born again, and it's not just improved, it's actually cleansed, yes, but it's actually a new birth. There is something that takes place in our lives. Listen to this from Titus. It says, he saved us through the washing, so this example of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. The good news today, if you're a Christian, is that we have been washed clean. We're renewed, the Bible says. We're a child of God. We have the promise of eternal life. And it's all pretty good news. How many people are grateful that they are clean, that they're a child of God, they have a promise of eternal life? It's good news. It's even better news than whatever you've heard in the news this week. This news is better than that news. Of course, most of the news you've listened to, if you've listened to the radio or the TV, is mainly bad news, isn't it? That's what we enjoy listening to. That's what's important. That's what hits the headlines. We won't go into that right now. But this is not just good news. You know, people talk about the gospel and good news, and sometimes we skirt over it, but this really is not just okay news. It really is good news. And of course, if we stopped there, that would be enough. But the promise that when Jesus said, when I go away, the Spirit's going to be given to the people of God, that goes beyond new birth, goes beyond the cleansing, beyond the promise. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit used to come, Dave mentioned this last week, the Holy Spirit used to come upon people. But in the New Testament, what happened was, we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Again, we mentioned it last week. And baptized, you've been around when we've baptized people physically in water. It means to be immersed. And so, as well as this symbol of new birth, the Holy Spirit wants to not just wet us a little, but to drench us and to be filled. That's why we talk about greater infilling. So, we don't just want the Holy Spirit to just fill us a little bit, do we? The Holy Spirit comes and he cleanses. But today, if we want the full package, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's what the Father wants to do for us. Yes, he wants to come in us, but he also wants to come upon us, drench us and saturate us. And of course, you've probably seen this illustration before, but if that's what happens, then we start to overflow, starts to get a little bit messy. And if anyone was sitting a bit nearer, like my trousers, are getting a little bit wet. And so actually when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, not only does it drench us, but actually it makes a difference to those around us, because they're affected by the Holy Spirit within us. Don't you think that is wonderful? So when we join together and have things like Kirkby Kindness Day, then of course there's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit within us to be overflowing, to be making a Holy Spirit mess in our communities and in our lives. And actually as well, this is really the essence of why we wanted to realign our prayer meetings. Because actually, as we are infilled, something happens in our lives. There's an empowering that takes place, not just the Holy Spirit around about us, but somehow as the Holy Spirit drenches us, fills us, then all the things that happen when the Holy Spirit is within us start to take place in our lives, in our church, and it flows out into our communities. So what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible talks about fruit, doesn't it? So if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's some fruit. That's what happens. And it's not that we say, oh, I'd like to have a bit of patience. I'd like to have a bit of kindness. It's Kirkby Kindness Day. I could do with some kindness. That would be really helpful. Well, that's not the way it works. We invite the Holy Spirit to fill us, and then the fruit is these things. That's just what happens. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, this is the fruit. So one way of knowing, some people will say, how do I know if I've got the Holy Spirit in my life? Well, one of the little measures would be how much of this fruit is in your life. And if you'd like more fruit, then why not ask the Holy Spirit to fill us? And my prayer and my heart for Touching Heaven prayer meetings is that we gather together as church, all together in one place, putting in a priority, growing our friendship with the Holy Spirit, but also asking that he would come and fill us again, to empower us to be his people. Yes, to help us to pray. Yes, to help us to worship. Yes, that we might see more fruit. But not because we have to, but because we want to. And that's my heart for Touching Heaven, that literally, it's not that we come together and use a lot of words, have an agenda, have a program, but actually that we come, we encounter God, we touch heaven, if you like. And then we're equipped and empowered to do the things that God's called us to do. So you're filled with the Spirit, there is fruit. Filled with the Spirit, there's also gifts of the Spirit. Tongues and prophecy, gifts of wisdom, gifts of discernment, understanding, gifts of miracles, words of knowledge, things that only when we have the Holy Spirit that can take place. And life groups is a great place for us to practice and to invite those gifts. The Bible talks about us eagerly desiring the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because they're good for us. But more than that, they encourage, they strengthen one another. I haven't got time to talk about it now, but the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to encourage and strengthen the church, to strengthen the body, and also, I believe, to make a difference in our communities as well. How many people want to have a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit in their lives? Why don't we stand together? I'm done. Perhaps two questions as I finish. These are questions I'm thinking about. You can think about them too if you'd like to. How can I develop our friendship with the Holy Spirit himself? And how can we get a greater infilling? If you look at it the other way around, if these are the things that happen when the Holy Spirit is living within us and is filling us, then the opposite must also be true, that without the Holy Spirit, what can we do? Very little. I don't know about you, but I want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that not just for my sake, but for the sake of those people who I'm close to, throughout the week, kids in my class, neighbours on my street, people in my office, get impacted by a loving Heavenly Father with the presence of Jesus through his Holy Spirit. So as we finish this morning, if you're saying this morning, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then why don't we just lift our hands. For some of us, we're doing this for the first time perhaps. You know, hear stories of people who've been a Christian for years and years but weren't aware that the Holy Spirit wanted to fill them to overflowing. Well, what a great revelation. Don't miss out. It's like you haven't got the full package, haven't got all that's available. I don't know about you, but in these days in which I live, I don't want to miss out on anything that God has got for me. Anything that's available, I want it. Maybe it's not very British, but I'm gonna ask God for everything that he's got for me. The Bible talks about eagerly desiring things. Well, this morning, can I encourage you to eagerly desire everything that the Holy Spirit has for your life? You know, I just dare to believe that as we invite the Holy Spirit to take the first place, to take the priority in our lives, that actually he's going to do things that we wouldn't even imagine, that transformed our lives. As I was preparing this message for this morning, I could just see a group of people who are so passionately on fire for God, with the wind of his Spirit living within them, that actually wherever we go, carriers of God's presence through that friendship with the Holy Spirit, that those around us, lives are changed, lives are transformed, that people see us, they wonder what a simple act of kindness means or does. I just dare to believe that actually God is going to do something fantastic within us that we can't believe, see, or imagine. And I believe that as you stand this morning, you just say, Holy Spirit, come and fill my life. And my prayer is simple, that the Holy Spirit would come and would do the things that each one of us needs this morning. That as he fills us, we expect to have more fruit. So my prayer this week is that in your life there is more patience, there is more self-control, there is more kindness, there's more goodness, there's more joy. You need joy this morning. You need joy this morning. Just open up your heart to the Holy Spirit, because for some of us this morning he's given us joy. Circumstances say otherwise, but God can give us joy. That's the wonderful God that we worship, that we invite to be amongst us this morning. And there is something about eagerly desiring. Some of you will know our friend Dwayne White from Texas. We have a joke with him because when we eat meals together, he says, in the UK it's very different. We're very polite. If there's one, I may have told you this before, if there's one item left on the table, well, nobody picks it up, nobody goes for it. Whereas he says in Texas, everyone just goes for it. It's not that they're impolite, but if there's one bit of steak left, then they just take it. And I almost hear God saying this morning that as we eagerly desire Him, more of Him, that's the heart that He's looking for. That sense that we are so passionately, sometimes we don't see it, but actually we desperately need God in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we're aware of it, sometimes we're not. Wherever you are this morning, I just encourage you to pursue, to invite, to welcome. And Father God, this morning as we pause for one moment, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray for a closer friendship with the Holy Spirit in our lives. A deeper sense of your power and your presence. That we would be the people of God walking in our lives in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. We love you in our lives. We declare that that Ashwood Church is going to be a place that is filled with the presence of God. The reason we say that is because you said you would come if we invited you. We love your presence, God. You cannot say day, but I can't say it again. We need you in our lives. And Lord, this morning, for those who need some guidance, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us. People who have life choices to make, significant life choices, just pray that you would lead us and you would guide us. Thank you that you put people around us to help confirm that many times. As a church, Lord, we pray that you would lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We want to follow you wherever you go. We want to do the things that you want us to do. We want to be the people that you called us to be. We sang Spirit Break Out, and that's our prayer, God, that you would break out, not just inside our church, not just on Sunday mornings, but wherever we are. For those of us who need a touch of healing this morning. Just pray that you would touch us again by your Holy Spirit, even now. We look forward to the stories of healings taking place in our lives. Physically, emotionally. Those of us struggling with symptoms of depression in our lives, Lord, pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit alongside us, within us, fill us, touch us, we pray. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that when you come, all you want to do is point us to Jesus and glorify the Father. And that's why, as we finish our meeting this morning, we find ourselves in that place of worship and glorifying the Father, acknowledging and recognizing Jesus, who we surrendered our lives to, putting him first place, our trust in him, in each and every circumstance that we find ourselves in our lives. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you. Amen.